thank you for joining us on the podcast. My name is Ben Potter, and this is PJ Gorman. PJ has been a good friend of mine ever since high school. He goes to the Air Force Academy, but I'll let him tell a little bit about himself, where he's from and where he is now.
Yeah, so like Ben, I grew up in Iowa, went to the same high school. I grew up in a small town, about 1,000 people, named Springville. Now I go to the Air Force Academy, and I'm a cadet, so don't think about that when we're talking.
Yeah, basically we're going to talk about the different worldviews that each of us have. PJ is a self-proclaimed atheist, and I am a Christian, but we're going to argue it as the point of atheism versus theism, and with a little bit of Christianity in there. So really the question that I want to start with was personal experience in your life involved on your decision on what you believe? Like, because I know for a lot of Christians and really anybody in theism, they kind of grew up that way, and so they kind of stay that way.
Yeah.
Some people have like explored their faith and stuff like that. But like, what led you to where you are? Was personal experience involved?
It was, but it wasn't like a miracle or something happened to me that I couldn't explain. My dad raised us to be Catholic. He raised us in the Catholic ideals, I guess you could say. All my siblings were baptized. And he did a good job of not forcing that on us.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us have grown up atheists. We haven't gone to church in like 10 years. So we're bad Catholics if we are Catholic.
You guys don't even go for like the Easter and Christmas services?
He's a Catholic and he doesn't even go.
Oh my gosh.
He's lazy though. It wasn't personal experience. It was just a lot of, I guess, outside influences.
Yeah, because you were telling me that you had like read this one book that kind of opened your mind when you were in like fifth grade, I think.
Fifth grade. Maybe. Do you remember what it was called?
No, I don't remember, but it was like a science fiction type of book. Maybe Carl Sagan. I don't know.
Well, Carl Sagan was a big influencer when I was growing up. So people like him, John Hitchens, Ben Shapiro, I guess. But he's
really
a Jew.
Ben Shapiro.
He's a Jew, but
wait, Jewish so he's man. Actually like religiously Jewish. He's not just like agnostic or whatever. He
no, but his arguments of evidence over emotion and things like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So it was mostly just like, you know, you just kind of did your own research with it? Or is it kind of like, this is kind of what I believe, and then you were like solidified through research?
I think the difference between me and my dad was I didn't have like nuns teaching me school, whereas he had nuns like whipping him literally when he was a child.
Whoa, what?
Well,
where did he go?
He grew up a Catholic school, like a very Catholic school.
Oh, shoot.
Because he had a rough life. So
yikes.
He's raised by nuns. Made it more rough. But it wasn't, there was no big event. There was no like continued like schooling or teaching. And so I grew up as if I didn't know what religion was at all. Because, you know, my dad would come into my room and say, like, make sure you pray tonight. I was like, why? Or like, what is that? He's just like, well, you just, you know, just speak in your head. You speak to God. And I was like, but I'm talking to myself right now. Like that seems crazy to me.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a big event in my own personal life.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was kind of like things that led up to it, just questioning for a while.
Yeah. All right. There was nothing to question even. I mean, like other kids would talk about it, and I just kind of look at them weird, like, who are you talking about? Like, what's his name?
God.
Yeah. So I mean, there wasn't anything to question because I didn't know about that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So kind of digging deeper then into like actual like atheism. First off, before we go into that, let's establish what atheism is. So what would you define as atheism?
Atheism is you just flat out don't believe in a God or a creator or any sort of religion.
Okay. Because I think a lot of confusion comes from the idea that atheists believe there is no God. And that agnostics don't have a belief in God. And they're kind of similar in some way, but how would you explain the difference, really?
I would say agnostics given proper evidence, would believe in a God. They would have to if there was evidence for it. And I think atheists fundamentally don't think there is a God. They're willing to say there's evidence of no God, which is something I can't really do. So in that regard, I'm agnostic. Because if you can prove there isn't, you just as well could prove there is. And that's something I just don't agree with. Yeah, I think that's the major differences.
Gotcha. So you're kind of like mostly atheist, but you kind of understand like the agnostic sympathies almost?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Gotcha. So diving right into it, one of like the biggest things about Christianity is that it puts value on human life. You know, we were created in God's image, and that's kind of what gives us value. And then we have that future look of heaven showing that God does value us. He created us. So from an atheistic belief, where does the value of human life really come from?
So value in human life, I guess it depends. You matter a lot to your family. You matter a lot to society, to your friends.
Yeah.
So there's value in, you know, friendship and your immortal life, I guess, like the things you leave behind. So like the creators of CCU, you know, they left this great college you have here. So I mean, there's value in doing good things in life, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Where do you think that, like, originated, though? Like, how of all the species that had value, like, where does that come from in humans? You know what I mean?
Where does it come from?
Yeah, like, because essentially in Christianity, like, we have, like, Bible verses that say, like, we are created with value and stuff like that. Like, we were created in God's image. So that's kind of, like, where our value comes from. And so that's just like the starting point. What would you argue is like the starting point? Or would you just say that like evolution brought us here?
Just self-preservation.
Okay.
Just the desire to put yourself and your bloodline over others. Because that's what everything comes down to, is how well you can survive. And nowadays we have enough stuff that, you know, you don't have to go around scourging for food just to survive. Like we have like a comfortable existence. So we have more time to like talk about ideas like we're doing right now, or build colleges instead of like looking for food. So it's, I'd say it was a survival instinct.
So it started off kind of as survival, but then it evolved into a, like almost like a community thing, 'cause that was better for survival.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That kind of makes sense. And that actually like does make a lot of sense. 'Cause like, preserving yourself, like right off the bat, like you have your own life, and that's all that you really know.
Yeah.
So that's like where your value comes from. Your consciousness is essentially what's saying, I want to stay alive.
Yeah.
But then, like as we got along, like we realized that living in societies like had a lot of benefit, you know. And like even in the Bible, it does say like we're supposed to live in community, but like that's also found just like naturally, you know. Like I mean, pack animals and stuff like that, they live in societies, so.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of benefits to, like, especially like mental health, just your general health in general. You're going to be a lot better off in a group, in a society that, you know, has like similar beliefs. I think that's where a lot of these religions come from too, is people will, they'll feel safer with people they know think like them. And so if one guy starts having this epiphany and believing in something, then if everyone else does and it seems to benefit them, I think that's that's a major reason.
Yeah. On that, what would you say, and I haven't really done the research on this, but what would you say is like the origin of Christianity? Because it was like interesting, you said like people of like mind tend to like group together. And so Christians believe that the origin of Christianity is just from the existence of God showing himself throughout history and through special revelation, which is scripture. But what would you say like the origin of Christianity is? Like, how do you think that started?
I mean, I can't say for sure. I mean, most people can't. If it were just from like a logical standpoint, I mean, religions kind of grow and die every day. You have like pretty recent religions that started, in my view, as like a money laundering scheme, kind of like a pyramid scheme almost. And then you have others that have been around so long that they kind of become ingrained into culture.
Almost like unquestioned.
Yeah, I mean, culture is another big, you know, a big hit for humans. It's like a reason to band together and, you know, do the same things as everyone else. But yeah, I think Christianity started or came about because, like I said, like-minded people tend to believe the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the same can be said for Islam and Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, I guess. Because like, once an idea really gets out there, it just starts growing in popularity. But it's interesting that you said there's like a lot of new religions recently. Like,
yeah, there's a ton.
I was just listening to something about Scientology and like, how does that even come about? You know, like that's not based in anything, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, at least with Christianity, there is like, from what I found, and like with everything else too, like the three big theisms, the Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, those are like based in history and historical events that have like been proven to happen, at least most of them.
Yeah.
But like, man, some of these recent ones, like Mormonism, I think it was, I don't remember who wrote it exactly, but it was like in the 1800s, some guy was just like, I believe this now, and then started a following and moved to Utah.
Yeah, he claimed to find some tablets. And then he didn't show it to anyone.
And this was in America, right?
Yeah.
he found some tablets in America.
So there isn't historical basis for that religion because it happened so recently.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Christianity happened, said to be thousands of years ago, like the events that began Christianity. And so Christianity has that historical backing, but I mean, who's to say the real Messiah or whatever you want to call it, like didn't happen yesterday? Or right, 1800,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
we, I mean, there's people that die all the time, especially people that are like killed, like not in the exact way that Jesus was on the cross, but like there are people that are martyred for what they believe, and like
there's a lot.
Mm-hmm. So and it's like what defines that difference, and then I think Christians would say just like historically it's just shown, and then like in Scripture we see that like Jesus was like a perfect person. That's how we would like explain that, like, so he was the one who could come to save us, mm-hmm. and just other stuff that we see in Scripture that kind of points to Jesus's coming and then fulfillment of that. But like, there's plenty of martyrs every day.
And the difference is one guy got a religion founded after him and the others didn't.
Right.
At least that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense. Another question, this one's kind of a funny, funny one, and I'm going to retort with mine, but what is your least favorite argument that you've heard about the existence of God? Like that somebody's like, I'm trying to prove this to you. So what's your least favorite argument of those?
There's a lot. I think the most common one is, because the Bible said so, which just from a logical reasoning standpoint doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You can't prove that Luke Skywalker, and this is a common, like, I guess, clapback. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clap you can't, you can't prove that Luke Skywalker is factual because the Star Wars movie claims him to be. So just like that, you can't use a book that some people may take as historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may take as like literal truth. You can't take a book, regardless of which you believe in, and say this entity exists because of that.
Right.
And just like that, you can't circle or full circle around and say the Bible is true because God says so. There's other arguments that make more sense than that, but that's. That's probably my least favorite, because if people use that argument, they don't tend to see how they might be wrong.
Yeah.
Even if you explain the circular reasoning to them, it doesn't click, I guess.
It's interesting that you say that, because in theology, there's really like two forms of revelation, specifically in Christian theology.
Mm.
There's general revelation and there's special revelation. Special revelation is the Bible. And there are people, a lot of Christians, who believe that the Bible is all you need for salvation.
Okay.
And it all you need for salvation specifically. And then there's general revelation, which points towards God. I don't know a lot of Christians out there that could argue that they can prove the existence of God, but they can really argue that things that look like they're designed in nature, like the appearance of design, really points towards God. How would you like argue with that too? Like the appearance of design?
Just pattern recognition. So have you seen those pictures where it's a bunch of shapes that like looks like a face or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's plenty of scientific journals that, I don't know what the word is, but it's like the topic of like pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same reason why, you may have seen this, the face on Mars. It's just a rock.
Or the man in the moon or something like that.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. It's humans putting patterns where they actually don't exist.
Oh, so is that like a psychology thing almost?
Yeah, yeah, psychology.
Interesting.
So pattern in nature, like what's to you pattern might not be to someone else. That's okay. Like a very, very relative thing. And just because we believe it to be pattern doesn't necessarily mean it is pattern. For instance, if you took a random plot generator, so just an X and Y coordinate.
Yeah.
And started plugging in random coordinates,
mm-hmm.
you would eventually find clusters of dots, and you'd think that's a pattern. But in reality, random statistics will generate patterns where they aren't.
Oh, it's like that whole argument where if like you give a monkey a keyboard, it'll type up
Shakespeare
or something like that.
Eventually, like given the opportunity, and
which like I was always really confused about, because I was like, no, potentially it could not, you know.
Yeah.
But like I kind of get that now. It's like if you put random sequences, eventually in that one, in like I don't know the statistics of it, but in that it will eventually type up Shakespeare.
Yeah, and so that's like, something that most Christians probably wouldn't believe. They wouldn't even believe the, you know, the random nature of life on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They think that has to be someone putting it there, which again I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can talk about that too.
The random nature of life on Earth.
Or just creation in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually want to touch up on that before we get into the discussion.
Okay.
Just kind of show where I stand. So there's a lot of views on creation. And I think since no one was there beyond like human civilization, there's not like a solid way to know. No. That being said, so I consider them all fairly valid, but a couple things that have to be considered is that in for those who believe in a young Earth, at least with the scientific tools that we have now, it points to more old Earth. So the argument from young Earth creationists is that God created it almost in stasis to appear old.
Okay.
At least that's what it should be. And if somebody can argue that, of course, like please do, and just let me know. But I personally believe in old Earth creation, which follows, and this is kind of controversial actually in the Christian community, but I do believe that like God created basically through the Big Bang with macro evolution and micro evolution, kind of working his way throughout history. Like his hand is seen. It's not like he's a deist, or it's not like a deistic belief where he just said it and then left it.
Yeah,
it's more like he's actively involved in it. But, like, we have science to show that. So that's my view, is old Earth creation.
Okay.
But there's kind of a lot of views, so I can address those if you want. But go ahead and say yours.
Oh, my view on
Well, just on, creation? Like, origin of life and Earth.
My view is science's view, which is... that sounds bad. It's what evidence points to.
Yeah.
So
like, there's, it's... So what I was saying about earlier, like it being created in stasis, you're saying that like science does point to it being older. And since we don't have any evidence that it was created in stasis, you believe that it's older.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So there's no evidence somebody made it,
mm-hmm.
and there's no evidence that it was left in stasis. There's evidence based on like what our telescopes can see.
Yeah.
And that what we've observed of the universe, that a Big Bang could create, you know, large enough spheres that could, you know, hold an atmosphere and hold water and eventually support life. If there's any young Earth believers, I don't think there's a shred of evidence
mm-hmm.
to support that. I think the only reason they believe that is because the Bible said so.
Mm-hmm.
which, you know, if you have a conclusion, mm-hmm. of course you're going to find some assumptions or some evidence to back up that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
What science is doing is taking evidence and then working up to a conclusion instead of top down.
Yeah, which is almost like, it's funny that like, so I think that's what science is like trying to do, but in the scientific process, what you like always see is you start with a hypothesis, right?
Yeah.
And so I think Christian scientists are starting with the hypothesis, at least the ones that believe in young earth, is that the earth is 6,000 years old or 7,000 or however old it is. And then with other, like you take evidence and you kind of point it in a direction essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to like know exactly what to do with that evidence that I've found. But I have seen in the scientific community an attempt to like really try and like get to the conclusive answer without hypothesis, which is always much harder. It's like doing a reverse research paper where you take all the evidence possible and then try to conclude. Whereas instead of taking a base assumption and finding evidence to support that.
I mean, there's a lot of observational studies that have been done. There's clusters of trees that are older than, what is it, 7,000 years old?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's organisms on this earth that just, you know, counting the rings like in Boy Scouts, you can conclude.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the half-life.
They have to cut down those trees to,
well,
like,
no, they're, count it. It was like more than once. I mean,
well, yeah.
There's half-lives of some materials that are much older than 7,000 years old.
Yeah, the one that really got me, because I used to be a young Earth creationist, but the one that really got me was that there are radio waves from like stars that date, like based on the way that they've decayed or reached the Earth, that mm-hmm. shouldn't be reaching the Earth because of the speed of light.
Okay.
They shouldn't be because they're like billions of miles away or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we still get the signals for those. So that's what kind of got me, was that like, okay, we can see these stars that are farther away, or like get some sort of waves from these stars that are farther away than what 7,000 years of a time span would allow. So that's what got me. But like I said, that would be like, it could also be created in stasis where it's shown to be that.
Yeah.
So.
And so what, so in my opinion, the young Earth, idea is like very narrow-minded. It's saying there's only Earth, and that, you know, the Catholic Church like held that belief, you know, as a standard for thousands of years, and they suppressed, you know, Copernicus, Galileo, that anyone who might upset that balance,
mm-hmm.
you know, they killed essentially.
Yeah.
Catholic
Church was not something that Christians are proud of throughout history necessarily.
Well, so why did, I guess a good question is,
hold on, that was a controversial statement.
Yeah.
I'm going to clarify that.
Okay.
The past church was not something that Christians were extremely proud of.
Yeah.
And that was primarily Catholic. As of now, there's no real Catholics are bad, Protestants are bad. There's none of that. It's just
better.
Kind of like, yeah, everything is good now.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 7 days of creation.
Yeah.
So that really just focuses on Earth. If you're a young Earther, I kind of say like flat Earth, it was not the same.
Yeah.
If you believe in a young Earth,
mm-hmm.
I guess a good question, like, I don't know, it's essentially, like, do they believe the universe was, you know, surrounding the Earth, or was it just the Earth?
So, okay. So the thing about that is, and what most, or not most, what quite a few Christians do not understand is who that was written for at the time. So the assumption as of right now, or the belief or the underlying viewpoint, is that it was written by Moses, inspired by God, but written by Moses to the Israelites. Now, that assumption was with the understanding that the world was created with the firmament. The firmament is, it says on day two, God separated the waters. And so essentially the belief was that Earth was in this bubble of water, and that's how they lived. And then the stars and the sun and the moon and everything were up there. And so when it says the sun set, that's what they thought actually happened, not that it rotated.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought that it was in the firmament. So it was written for their perspective. And so that's one thing that should be understood going into this, is just that, like, that was their perspective. But science has shown that that's not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when Moses wrote that, he was writing to the people how they would understand, which I don't think it disqualifies exactly the meaning behind it, but it does show that it is it was for an audience that understood less. And now that we understood more, there is evidence. And I think that's also another thing, is just that, like, a lot of times Christians can be closed-minded to the idea of science. My mom is actually also an old earth creationist, because she kind of likes it for the idea more, that God took his time to create us and prepare the earth for us. But science really isn't something to be... I mean, science has gotten us here, you know? We're doing a podcast on this tech that only science could create.
Yeah.
So I think it ought to be seen more of as a tool than rather like something to be afraid of and or attack at religion, you know?
Yeah. So as far as the... like, catering to the beliefs of the people he was talking to, I just, like, logically, why wouldn't a God want people to understand the universe he created?
Well, I think the reason behind that is essentially, like, I can't really think of a good example, but imagine if right now we understood that the world, like, we believe that the world... Okay, here's a good example. What if by some means we proved that the earth was flat, right? And I'm not advocating flat earth. The earth is round.
Uh-huh.
Well, circle's round, but it can still be flat.
It's spherical.
Yes, it's spherical. But so imagine if we believe that, and then all of a sudden proof comes out that we can understand that shows the earth is flat. Like, it takes it from, like, a side angle, and it's just like a disc, you know? And we're like, what? I've been believing this wrong for my entire life. And then all of a sudden, your core beliefs are shook. You don't really know what to trust, what to follow. You're kind of mind blown. And so throughout history, it was kind of presented to them that way. My understanding is because it would have been too complicated for them to have understood at the time. I mean, the finding out that, you know, the sun orbited or the earth orbited the sun was a huge revelation because we didn't believe that at the time. So...
Yeah, and the if you look at it, the progressions of technology, it's obviously all science doing that work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not the church telling people what is actually true or factual. It's it's scientists coming out and usually dispelling the truths that the church has once held.
Yeah.
So it's called like the God in the gaps argument.
What's
so
that?
So if you look at history, you know, the earth, center of the universe, everything rotates around the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the church's view. That's written in the Bible.
Isn't it?
I
don't think so. I know, I actually know of a guy who believes it.
In the seven days.
Yeah, so it does say days. There's arguments that it could be interpreted as ages. But it does say, and there is evening and there is morning. That can't really be explained. But essentially, Genesis 1 is wildly debated, especially like in the Christian community, just like what the original intent of that was.
Yeah,
I don't believe... I mean, it does say like the sun set and it rose.
Which, yeah,
like,
so...
Stuff like that.
Which is...
Wrong.
Which is wrong, yeah.
We still say that, but we know that's wrong. Mm.
And so that argument is the more, not society, but technology expands and we discover more about the universe, the less and less relevant the Bible is. Because the Bible at one point did, like, maybe was like the height of understanding of the universe. Because if people didn't know anything else, that's a pretty good view to have. But now with science, where we can actually understand, you know, physics and chemistry and mathematics, that certain things are true, the Bible's view, just the Christian view, becomes like an ever receding, like, gap, I guess.
Yeah.
See, where they can kind of change it from this is literal truth into this is like figurative or a metaphor, something like that.
So you would say that, I mean, I could be off on this and feel free to defend it, but like, you would say the lack of a necessity for a God is kind of what proves he doesn't exist. Not necessarily proves, but what gives you reason to be atheist.
I've never felt the need for someone to be watching me or controlling, or not controlling, but guiding.
Right. That's a whole other debate in the Christian community. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with predestination?
I can understand that word.
Yeah, it's basically that. So there's two views, two essential views. Is one that, like, God created us with complete free will, kind of holding a blind eye to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we get to heaven, he judges us based on that.
Before you were born.
Yeah, ready you were to go born, to God, or and God created every single action that you're going to commit for the rest of your life, knowing whether or not you're going to hell. So it's either God created you with free will and is holding a blind eye,
okay,
or God created you with a sort of free will, but he knows what it's going to be already, and he created it ahead of time to be that way, which is this really, like, huge theological debate, like,
yeah.
Okay, does that mean God is good? Does that mean God is bad? You know, like,
so, like, three O's, is he omnipotent? So, like, you know, is he always good, or
yeah,
all powerful? Is he all good? So there's not an ounce of bad in him, and is he all knowing? So does
omniscient,
he?
Yeah.
So
omnipotent,
does he,
omniscient, omnipresent.
Yeah, yeah.
So is he everywhere all at once? Is he all powerful, and is he all knowing?
Yeah.
And I think there's one more, but I don't remember.
And so, is that true? I mean, or do you believe that to be true? And if you do, then you look at all the bad things that happened in the world, and you wonder, could he have stopped that? Like,
mm-hmm.
Does he want to stop that even?
Right.
And, you know, counter argument is maybe he's doing these bad things to test us, or something,
yeah,
to that effect.
I'll actually address that. The counter argument that I would say was that he, and it's always hard because you go back to that, well, God created it, and,
yeah,
you know, knowing there would be sin in the world. But essentially what it comes down to is that theologically sin is basically, like, this isn't the exact definition, but sin is basically the opposite of God. So you'd be like, a common question would be like, why, like, if God can do everything, why can't he sin? Which theologically, that's like asking, like, why can't a circle be a square? Because that's not what a circle is, you know?
Yeah, just by, like, definition, it's not the same.
Exactly. So it's not necessarily that God isn't all powerful. It's just that he doesn't sin. That's not him. So it's, and that's, like, very deep and very hard to, like, argue.
Yeah.
Because essentially, like, those who believe in God, a God, specifically one all-powerful God, have to realize they're arguing for one of the hardest concepts ever. Like, something that you can't see, you can't feel, you can't touch, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to argue it, like, why does it exist? And like you said earlier, it's like, you're really flipping a coin. Like, it could be either, if there's as much to prove that there is, there's equal amounts to prove there isn't.
Well,
and that would be zero on both sides, in my opinion. But
in my view, it's, so the burden of proof, so, like, the default position that all humans are born with,
mm-hmm,
is just zero. So if you don't tell them about God, they're not gonna know about religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. Like, I was raised by parents who did think there was a God, and I went to a Catholic school for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But after I got out of that environment, there was no more reason for me to believe that. And so by defaulting, the default position when you're born is that there isn't. And then that the more people tell you that there is, the more you believe what people tell you. The more you become, I guess, like a Christian.
Well, I don't think that it necessarily, the default that there isn't a God, but like what you were saying for the definition of atheism is that, like, your default is there isn't belief, you know? Like, it's not a concept that you comprehend. And then if somebody says, like, if somebody tries to explain to you the concept, like, is there an all-powerful being that we can't see, interact with, that kind of thing, you're going to use your experience, which, you know, if you haven't been told about Christianity or anything like that, to just say, like, no. But when you're looking at it simply just as a concept, it's like, I don't think that there's necessarily a default. Although I do see, like, what you're saying. Like, essentially, like, I just think the default is that there is no belief, you know? Because I wasn't told, I wouldn't even, like, if I was living my life up until I was 19.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I just went about, then I wouldn't even think of that concept until somebody was like, hey, have you heard of God? I'll be like, who, you know?
And, yeah, the same thing's true with like science, I guess. Mm-hmm. If you were to talk about quantum physics to a 20-something-year-old who had never studied it, he wouldn't know. But the difference between the two is you can go into a laboratory and prove some fundamental truths about quantum physics.
Right.
You can't do that with Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
There's beliefs, and you know there's the church, but there's no empirical, mm-hmm. Repeatable evidence you can bring about to prove
right.
That.
You could also like, there's a lot of like philosophers in the past who really like tried to like show that there was God. I think Descartes was a big one. He's like, I think therefore I am, and mm-hmm. since I think there must have been that initial cause, like that uncaused causer or whatever that was called,
yeah,
that was God, but that didn't really like prove anything. So you could reason your way there, but you could equally reason your way out. I think what it comes to for most Christians, I think they understand that you cannot prove the existence of God. Although I think I would say that I know that there is a God, to like not know as in like factually I could show you, but like just I'm extremely confident, you know, like I have such a high level of confidence in it. And I think most Christians are that way too.
Kind of have to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of that, I think some of that maybe comes from tradition. I don't know. Specifically, like it does come from the word and that explaining. I probably wouldn't be a Christian if it weren't for my family, but there is a lot to be said about tradition and upbringing in that.
Yeah. So, okay, I got a question now. What would your beliefs be if you were brought up like an Eskimo or
an Eskimo?
Yeah.
I don't know what they believe.
You
mean if I was isolated essentially?
If you were isolated or were brought up in a very opposite religion to Christianity.
Yeah.
So, maybe multiple gods, not just one, mm-hmm. Just a whole nother belief in general.
Right.
So you would agree that you would probably believe what you're community believed?
Yes, because, well, it's always hard to say stuff like that because those hypotheticals assume certain things. The fact that I have seen people go from one religion to another. We actually had a chapel speaker who used to be like in like guerrilla warfare, like killing Christians.
Nice.
shouldn't have said that, but
no.
But he became a Christian because he had this like revelation while he was in jail.
Yeah.
But so the fact that I've seen that means that I can't say, yes, I would be that other religion. I do know for a time in personal experience that I was atheist and then I came back. And I do think that is largely in part to my family. But I have done quite a bit of research and I think that if there was something that didn't feel right, if there was something that didn't sit well or something that said this is absolutely wrong, because as much as like you can say this isn't like you can't exactly prove it's wrong or right, I would say that's, I don't know, that one's kind of a hard one to say, but if there's something that proved to me that it was wrong, then I think I would not be in it anymore, and I've tried to do as much thinking about that as possible. But if I was raised in an isolated situation, I really couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you most likely wouldn't be a Christian.
Yeah.
Just because you wouldn't have been exposed to that word or the doctrines.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
But I mean, that doesn't prove there isn't or is a God. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's just like belief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the point to that question?
The point is that your religion is largely based on your community.
Yeah.
And it's largely based on your parents. And in my opinion, it has little to do with a divine truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or a predestination, if you will.
Right, yeah. I understand that argument. And what a Christian would say in defense of that is that there's the passage in Matthew, it's called the Great Commission. We're told to go out and make disciples. And that's actually kind of a good lead into my next question is that, like, you were talking about Christian community, right? Being raised in the church, being raised with a Christian family. And so this is like a really controversial question, actually.
Okay.
But how do you currently view the church? Not like as a building that you walk into, that, you know, you worship at, but the church as in like the community of Christians. Like, what is your current opinion on Christians? Just that you've seen
overall
in media,
Christians.
Yeah.
Not like the church organization itself, but like Christian people.
Yeah. So essentially what the church means is like that community of Christian believers.
Well, so I have a different view of Christians than I do of the Christian church.
Okay, go into both.
Let's
start with the Christian church, because I want to start bad then good.
I mean, obviously. In my opinion, the Christian church is good for certain things.
Yeah.
And I think it's detrimental to others. So
okay,
it's a good hub of, like, you know, the community. So it's good just getting people together. It does a lot for, you know, mental and general health.
Yeah.
Where it's bad, I think, is not tax evasion, but the lack of taxes they have to pay.
Oh yeah, like the government nonprofit thing.
The nonprofit thing.
How do you feel about other nonprofits then?
Nonprofits that, like churches obviously do help people.
Yeah,
they help. You know, like I volunteered at that one church in Cedar Rapids, a Presbyterian church on First Ave. And you
Bethany
know,
we, Luther?
No. I don't remember. Just
whatever. See the rap stuff.
And like they put a lot of time and money into feeding homeless. And if that's where all the money goes, then that's a great thing. Like maybe they shouldn't be taxed.
Yeah.
But
the sad truth is that not all churches do that.
And especially with Christian beliefs that, I mean, would you agree not any man is born without sin?
Yeah.
Okay. Then obviously, there's going to be people who launder that money, use it for other means.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time.
And so I think taking money away from people is detrimental. I also think, spiritual cures. So, like...
Spiritual cures?
So, there's plenty of stories of believers who pay churches or specific, clergymen to cure, like, cancer or other ailments. And they would spend upwards of like $15,000, you know, in the hopes that would please God or something.
That's a pay to pray thing.
Yep.
Wow.
And so instead of paying that money on real treatment that would have saved them, they paid, you know, a fraud.
Because I have heard of cases of people just like, you know, going into churches, being prayed over and healing. I mean, that's happened on a personal level to my grandma, who had a torn aorta. Mm-hmm. And had the entire community praying for her, and then her aorta like wasn't torn anymore. She was brain dead for 10 minutes, and then she had full function. And to me, like, I don't really see another explanation for that other than God. Although, you know,
was she in a hospital?
Well, she was, but she was in one hospital. They said there's a torn aorta. It was shown like in the chart. She was in a ton of pain. She goes to the next hospital. They rushed her. She was brain dead. And then the aorta was torn, her veins weren't blocked, and she wasn't brain dead. It was like the weirdest thing. And I know, like, there's probably some, like, I don't think God worked outside of science to make that work. I think he worked within that. But I still believe it's a miracle. So I know stories like that. But I don't know. Paying to get healed, like, I don't think that's
well,
how...
not paying to get healed, paying someone who will promise you to get healed, and then that does nothing. So
right.
Your grandma was healed without paying someone.
Well, she paid the hospital. But
well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she most likely would have died if she didn't go to a hospital.
Right.
This person believed in God more than science and decided that was the route she wanted to take. And she ended up dying. So on the same hand, you have this grandma who miraculously survived. This granny. So she survived. And it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And then thousands of children die in Africa every day. And I guess, how do you explain that? One miracle compared to thousands of atrocities every day.
Right. And then that's always like a hard one to get into. And that's kind of one of like the baseline arguments is that like there are people dying all the time. Essentially, in the Bible, it says that like Adam and Eve sinned and they brought the curse of sin onto the entire human race. And so from that, that's where the bad things come from. And that is not God's intent. His intent was, and like that's, again, the whole issue of predestination. But his intent was to create a world of like peace. Like the tree of life was supposed to keep us living forever, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% clear on the lore of that, but essentially what that comes down to is sin in the world. And it's easy to say like, well, why didn't God just create the world without sin?
Yeah.
But the argument against that is like, well, if I wanted something to really like love me and, you know, praise me, would I create a robot that just says, I love you, Ben, I praise you, or would I make a baby? Sorry,
make a baby.
The best way to put that, or would I have a son or a daughter who I train up to love me and, you know, take that risk of them leaving or them staying?
So with the robot and the son, are you saying that, like, you creating something to love you is better than, or, yeah, what is...
So I'm saying that, like, God could have created us without sin, right? He could have created us as perfect human beings. And if I created that robot to say, love me, that's all they'd ever say. They wouldn't leave me. They'd stay right attached to my side, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, that's not real love. You know, you're programmed to say that. Instead, in raising a kid, what I'm doing is I'm giving them the opportunity to not love me. And if they truly do love me, they're going to show that. And if they don't, they're going to leave. And of course, that's going to cause pain, but it's true love and not something faking.
So you're the child in that situation?
Yeah.
God?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. God is, wow, that was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll cut that out. Okay. So let's see here. So why can't there be a natural explanation for, because the child loving you is a necessity by just evolution. It's, if the child doesn't love you, and if you don't love the child, you're not going to raise that child.
Right.
And that child's not going to survive, therefore you're